Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. The Reverend Craig Mueller is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The reading for today is from Galatians chapter 3, beginning at the 15th verse. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made testament, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. That is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a testament previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise has been made and was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promise of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that would give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. This is the word of the Lord. I don't know if you, when you're traveling down a highway, but our family sometimes annoys each other by reading every billboard and sign as you're going through a town, as the journey gets longer. But I don't know how many of you have seen this billboard. I think it's gone now. It used to be on I-70 that said, "Don't make me come down there, God." Or there's another one further down I-70 that said, "You think it's hot here, God." Now, we know that there is law and gospel, but this clearly is the law. And that message does trouble me. It places God in the role of an angry father, the kind who would only come around if you're in trouble. It indicates that we don't really want to have God around because that would mean he would be there to punish us. Furthermore, it teaches that being a Christian is all and only about keeping God happy, so he doesn't come to judge. The message to the world is, you don't want to make God angry, so you better behave. Well, the purpose of the law is to accuse us of our sin, to show us how much we do need a Savior. Well, Luther in his commentary on this text starts off with that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. That is to say, in order that the blessing promised to Abraham might be fulfilled, namely, that in faith he should be the father of many nations. This faith, I say, was promised in blessing. Here again, therefore, he touches briefly and obscurely on the fact that the Gentiles will become children of Abraham, not because they will imitate him, but because they have received the promise. Because they will be his children as a result of God's promise and its fulfillment, not as a result of deeds and the imitating of Gentiles. It's not the imitation of works that makes us children of God. It is being children of God, heirs, that makes us do good works. Because it was not on account of their own merits that the Gentiles became Abraham's children. They became God's children in no other way than through Christ, who merited this for them and was received by them through faith. So let's take a look at this text. In every testament, there is a testator. That is, one from whom the testament is made, for whom the testament is made. There is the testament itself, and there is the legacy that is being attested or bequeathed. Anyone who has recently lost a loved one, or maybe even written one yourself, that last will and testament, you understand what our text is talking about. This is serious business. This last will and testament is not to be taken lightly, and it's not to be changed. This is the situation here. Paul tells us that God is the testator, for it is he himself who promises and bequeaths. Abraham and his offspring, you and me and all believers, are those to whom the testament is made as heirs of God, the testator. The testament is the promise itself. That which is bequeathed is the inheritance itself. That is the grace and righteousness of faith. Namely, the blessings of Gentiles and the offspring of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus, the Savior who was promised in Genesis 3:15, that seed that would crush Satan. Would crush Satan. If therefore the grace of the promise of the righteousness of God, which has been tendered through Christ, and in this way God's testament has been ratified through his death, yes, executed and distributed, if this does not suffice, unless you have the righteousness of the law, is God's testament, which has not only been declared, but also been ratified and fulfilled, not now rendered invalid? And is that something to be added to? Can we really add works to God's promises? But this should be done even in, shouldn't be done even in the case of a man's testament. If grace is sufficient and the testament of God is firm, it is clear that one should not seek the righteousness of the law. Our text says that the law was laid down for the purpose of increasing transgressions, but on the other hand, was not against the promises of God when it increased transgressions. God has consigned all things to sin through the Scripture. That is, through the law and the letter, he has shown that we were sinners and powerless to regard to righteousness or the fulfillment of the law, in order that in this way, by making sin manifest through the law and by convincing us of our inability to fulfill the law, he makes us humble and compels us to despair of ourselves and run trembling to the mercy of God that is freely offered in Christ. Accordingly, the law is good and righteous and holy, but it does not justify. It shows me what I am, since through it I am provoked and hate righteousness more than ever. It causes me to love lust more than before, since it is only out of terror at the threats of the law that I was held back from an evil deed, though never from evil lust. We are not justified by the law, but we are justified by the grace of God for Christ's sake through faith. This is what Paul makes clear to the Judaizers in Galatians. Faith and conviction that our Lord Jesus has redeemed us. He has saved us from the law. The law is not contrary to the promises of God, but shows that we all have sinned and fall short of that glory of God. It makes known our need for the promise, the gospel of Christ, who is the fulfillment of the law. It's not that we leave the law behind and run away. Instead, we love it rather than resent it. Now, to delight in God's law requires an extraordinary change of heart. In fact, it is a change that we can never accomplish by our own reason or strength. By nature, we are born in sin and naturally hate God's law and the requirements he has for us. Apart from God, we can't change that resentment. It's impossible. We must have our hearts changed for us by our Lord. The tutor teaches us our need for the Savior, and the Savior gives us the forgiveness needed so that we can delight in God's commands. Rejoice in this good news. The law has brought us to Christ, and Christ has saved us from our sin. He took our place under the law and kept it perfectly for us. He gives us faith to believe that he has died to redeem us, faith to believe that we are now his children and that we are no longer slaves under the law. Through baptism, Christ has clothed us with his holiness and made us his holy people. And if we are his holy people, we are heirs of the kingdom of God. By faith, we see that the law of God is good and holy and something to be cherished and kept. We are set free from the law. It is no longer that cruel taskmaster who says, do this or else, but a cherished friend to be honored and served. So we rejoice in God's law because Jesus Christ has already given us salvation. Therefore, our proclamation is not like the billboard. Don't make God come down here, or you better behave or else. No, we bring a different message. We proclaim God's law to accuse us of sin, yes, but we proclaim Christ who has died and risen to save us from our sin. In fact, because the Lord gives us forgiveness in His word and sacraments, we want Him to come down here. He is present with us. He comes to serve us, to give us forgiveness for all our sins. We are joined to Christ in faith. All of us who are in Christ Jesus are joint heirs with Him and escape all the condemnation of the law. So we say, yes, God, come down. Come in our baptism where You made us Your child. Come in that Holy Supper where You are really present in with and under the bread and wine with Your body and blood given and shed for us. Yes, we want God to come to us. As we sing, or as we close our message this morning, I'd like to close with a few verses of our hymn. The gospel shows the Father's grace, who sent His Son to save our race. Proclaims how Jesus lived and died, that we might be justified. May we in faith its message learn, nor thanklessly its blessings spurn. May we in faith its truth confess, and praise the Lord, our righteousness. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.